The question was asked, sometimes we see a midrash that seems to stress a point, and yet when we look at a broader picture, it seems like that can't be the point of the midrash. So the midrash says that Rachel's prayers are what penetrated the heavens, and it would seem like the Jewish people would come back even without Rachel's prayers, because Hashem had told Moshe Rabbeinu that they're going to come back, that Hashem would never be fully disgusted with the Jewish people, etc. So is the Medrash just telling us a nice idea that Rachel did a wonderful thing in letting her sister marry Yaakov, and that was a great merit for the Jewish people? Or should we really look for more meaning with the direct message of the Midrash, that it was Rachel that got us back? And I would like to answer that both are important concepts. It's definitely true that sometimes a Midrash is coming to drive home a specific point, and the details around are less interesting. Oh, they might capture our attention, they might get us to remember the Midrash, but the real message is not that. The real message is the message the Midrash is trying to get across. And we might be in error in focusing on the details around the real message. This idea is one of the first concepts the Rambam writes in his introduction to the Mora Nevuchim, and the Guide to the Perplexed. One of the first concepts the Rambam says is that sometimes you have a mashal, you have an allegory, a midrash, a mashal in Mishlei, you have a whole long story, but really the midrash is trying to get one point across. So that's for sure an important concept. But the Rambam says you have two types of mishalim. You have times where every detail teaches you something. You have times where all the details are irrelevant. They're just putting together a story, but the stories come to teach you one concept, and everything else is not important. That's the Rambam. So there you have what you just said, that sometimes the Midrash is teaching me a theme and the details are less important. But I wouldn't be so quick to assume that that's what a Midrash is doing. And I want to take your example and analyze it. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells us we're coming back, right? I had a question many years ago. We say in the blessings of Kriyat Shema, "V'avatcha al tasir mimenu l'olamim." Hashem, never remove your love from us. Wait, but the pasuk says Hashem will always love us. I love you forever, Hashem says. Why am I praying for it? The verse says it. So what am I praying for? Fair question? So I asked this question. What? Okay, so in the introduction to the Sidur Otzar HaTfilot, they write that sometimes the prayer is to teach us concepts of Jewish philosophy. There is that idea. I don't know what their source is for that. I'm not sure who's writing it, if it's the editor or the composer over there. I'm not sure who's the one writing that intro. I couldn't figure it out. And I'm not sure where they get that concept from. But they do say what you just said. In the intro to Otzar HaTfilot, they write that some things were stuck in the tefillah so that we understand this is a concept of Judaism. Okay, I hear that. I asked Rav Elisha Vishlitsky, and he said to me that in the Shlach Kadosh, in his Sidur, he writes that we also pray for things that are promised. Just because Hashem promised something doesn't mean we don't pray for it. So 10 years later, I came back to him and I said, I looked, I couldn't find it. So he said, look again. So I looked again and I still couldn't find it. But he said that's what the Shlach writes. I did come to him a third time. I just didn't have the book with me, and we're supposed to meet one day, and hopefully he'll show it to me inside. Who knows? So coming back to here, but I want us to see this concept here more clearly. The Jewish people are being exiled. Okay? There's a destruction. Jewish children are being sold en masse, not only into slavery, but into prostitution. Families are being destroyed. You have situations where Rabbi Meir, his father-in-law is tortured to death. His mother-in-law is sent to a brothel. His sister-in-law is sent to a brothel. His family is being destroyed completely, right? Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion was his father-in-law. They tortured him to death. And now that's the destruction of the Second Temple. So let's imagine a Holocaust, because that's what it was. The first destruction was probably a greater number of people lost than the Holocaust. You have the second destruction where you have torture. The Medrash says there was a river of blood from all the rape that was going on outside Jerusalem. A stream of blood just from that. So there's tremendous suffering going on in the Jewish people. You have a tree where you have over 1,000 children hung on the tree. Can we imagine that? 1,000 children just hanging on a tree. That was just to scare the Jewish people. That was one of the things the Romans did. You had a stone where you had the volume of maybe 300 gallons of brains from babies' skulls that were bashed on that stone. 500 gallons of brains, baby brains, on one stone.
That's where the Tehillim comes from?
Maybe. So, all of this is going on, and we can say, don't worry, the Torah says there's a promise, you're still coming back. Who needs to pray? Don't worry, eventually it'll be over. I don't think any of us would say that. If we think of Jewish history, the fact that in the end everything will be okay is a comforting thought for the people. But I am sure that we also want a quicker solution. And so when the Midrash tells us, Kol berama nishma, a voice was heard in heaven, unfortunately we don't have that voice with the second destruction. The first destruction, as bad as it was, you had the exile of 70 years, and then we were back. And then comes the second destruction, and you don't have Kol Berama Nishma. You don't have Rachel Mevaka Al Banea. And we should point out that, although you're right, it is a Midrash, but there are also overt psukim in the Navi Yirmiyahu. The words Kol Berama Nishma, a voice is heard in heaven, Nehi Vechi Tamurim Rachel Mevaka Al Banea, are the words of the Navi Yirmiyahu. It's not a Medrash. Hashem says, Me'ana li'itnachem, she refuses to be comforted. And Hashem tells Rachel, Mini kolech mibechi, hold back your tears. Ve'inayich midima, ki yesh sachar lifulatech. Hashem answers Rachel. That's a prophecy of Yirmiyahu. It's not a midrash, it's psukim in Yirmiyahu. And I think that the idea is one that we can all connect to. The fact that the end game is going to be okay doesn't mean that we don't pray and ask for things to end more pleasantly and more quickly. And I think it's easy to understand the Midrash. So I wouldn't be quick to say the Midrash is just teaching me a theme. The first point you made is correct. There are Midrashim that teach me a theme. Their point is not the details, their point is the theme, as we saw in the Rambam. But I wouldn't be quick to assume that's the point of the Medrash. I would take some time to analyze and look and see if maybe there's something else that Midrash is teaching us.